Well, welcome back. Let me open in prayer. We're going to do a session on, for the husbands again, on being trusting and truthful. So let's pray. Lord, you say that your word is perfect, reviving the soul. So I pray that our time in the word, you would use it to revive our soul, our mind, our will, emotions. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. Lord, as husbands, we are often simpletons. Make us wise as we try to understand how to be more loving husbands to our wives. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. So I pray you'd rejoice our hearts, that we would look upon your word as something, as a delight to do, for it is. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Lord, enlighten us and give us insight and revelation into the truth. The fear of the Lord is clean and pure, enduring forever. The statutes of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They're more to be desired than gold and much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the comb. Give us such a heart that we would look at your word as more valuable than gold and sweeter than honey to our spirits. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Lord, your word is to give us a warning, to convict us. It's also there to assure us that as we obey it, there is a great reward for us. I pray you'd prevent us from presumptuous sins, from errors in our lives, and help us to be more and more blameless and upright. And may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts now be acceptable to you and pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So John mentioned a verse last session in Proverbs 31 about a wife. It says, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he has no lack of gain. And there are verses that talk about the wife being a good thing, a helpmeet. And so why would we still resist trusting her? Well, there are several reasons, but we want to, as we grow in our marriage, to desire a wife that we can trust more and more. And even if we don't think we can, we need her. When I was a new husband many years ago, 35, 6 years ago, I would come home from work and my wife would, at the dinner table, make conversation. She would ask me what I did that day, who I had lunch with, what I had for lunch, what I was doing tomorrow. And this went on for several days, weeks, and I was curious as to why she was asking, but I was trying to be patient. And finally, I got a little perturbed. Why is she quizzing me and investigating my life? Is she like a detective? Now, I've learned in the last 36 years that my wife does like mysteries, and she is a very good detective. She is very good at figuring out things. But at the time, I thought she was just maybe trying to analyze me, because I knew her degree, her bachelor's degree was in childhood development, and her master's was in psychology. I said, I bet she's using her psychology on me. And I didn't like that. So, because when we were dating, she gave me a psychological test, and I thought, why are you... She was doing it in good, with a good heart. And what I was learning was she was trying to draw me out and get me to share my thoughts and my life with her, because she wanted to fulfill her role as a helpmeet and prove herself trustworthy, like the Proverbs 31 woman. But for her to do that, I needed to trust her that she wasn't going to be like one of these women who might use that against me or gossip about me or make fun of something I said or question something I did. So a part of my learning to be a trusting husband was first trusting that she had my best interest at heart. And so I needed to learn to share what was on my mind and things going on, because I had never had a very deep friendship in my life. I had had some friends when I was single, some male friends, but not very deep. My wife would say they were not very deep friendships because we talk mainly on the surface. How's the weather? What was the score of the ball game? Who do you think will win? You know, this kind of thing. And but she was used to having a deeper communication relationships. So this was good for me. I didn't know it at the time. It was good for me to grow in this area. So Christ, as Christ loved the church, He is the bridegroom of the bride, the church. And as the church, Christ is trusting, but He's also entrusted me as part of the church. He has revealed His word to me, knowing that I can accept it or reject it. But He has revealed who He is, what He does. Some people, of course, reject and say, I do not like the God of the Bible. And that's their choice. But God is a trusting enough to share who He is. So I needed to be open and more transparent and vulnerable to share myself with my wife that God gave me. And so that leads into being truthful. When I share, I shouldn't make things up to thinking, well, what does she want to hear? I should just be truthful about my life. And if maybe I got a ticket by speeding that day, I needed to be truthful about it and not hide things. So we men can sometimes be very private. Because of our pride, if we say everything on our mind or everything that we have done that day, if it was embarrassing, like getting a ticket for speeding or maybe being having a bad presentation at work, I wouldn't share that. Now I would, but I had to learn that my wife could be trusted. And we both grew through this process as we learned to communicate, that she proved herself trustworthy. And I could name hundreds of times when maybe I did not want to share something with my wife. Maybe I had a bad day at work and things didn't go well. I deal with a lot of customers who bring their problems to me, but she would draw that out, and I would learn to trust sharing how I reacted that day, and she would encourage me and be positive about it. So it's a good thing as we need to do that. But this trusting and the thing about secrets. I did not need to make her my priest and share. I'm not talking about sharing my every sinful thought I ever had during the day or something like that. I'm just talking about normal things that she, as my wife, has a right to know and a need to know, and for the purpose of her being and me being more loving to her and her respecting me. And so that goes back a little bit to these maybe secret financial deals, perhaps. It's related. As you'll notice, all of these principles of the covenant are somewhat interrelated, and they overlap a little bit. But that's good, because they're all also uniquely independent of one another. Now, Romans 15:7 says that we are to accept one another just as Christ accepted us. And how did Christ accept us? We have songs about just as I am. We come to Christ just as we are. Christ can be trusted to accept us as we are, but He also wants us to grow closer to Him. We can take that meaning in the wrong way, but as I learn to accept my wife as a sister in the Lord, and she learns to accept me as Christ accepts us, that means she's not there for the purpose of asking me these questions in order to give me a makeover or to change me. And I'm not sharing my heart in order to be analyzed and changed. We're doing it to help us to learn to know one another in a deeper way. And that's, again, the relationship we have with Christ. He opens Himself up to us in His Word every day. He says that we can abide in Him, and He abides in us. He has this deep and abiding relationship that can grow over time. And now, having been a Christian many years and married many years, I see how both of those relationships grow. The more truthful I am with the Lord, whether it's my sin or my doubts or my fears, the closer I become to Him, because He then shares things with me. And it does go back to, if I love Him, I will obey Him. So it's difficult, the times I've had to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I confess I don't love You. There was a period of time where I thought, well, I will never say that. Of course I love. But when I'm really truthful, when I really allow the Holy Spirit to look inside me, I have to admit there are times when I have to say, Lord, I don't love You, because I didn't obey You in this case or in that case. And now again, I'm not saying that I confess my sins to my wife, but if I did something that she should know and violated a trust, yes, I need to share that with her, because we have an honest and open relationship in marriage. So sure, if there's something that I did and the Lord is convicting me, that I need to share that with her to maintain a clear conscience. The Bible is very big on maintaining a clear conscience. That is a very powerful thing. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. One, five, I believe it is. It says, the aim of our charge or command is love, which issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So true love seeks to maintain, and whether it's my relationship with Christ or my relationship in my marriage, is to have a pure heart, a good conscience, a sincere faith. And that's a powerful and rare marriage that continues to maintain, to keep a clear conscience. So likewise, there are times when I have to come back to my wife. Usually it's a day or two later after the Lord has dealt with me, and I say, I need to ask Your forgiveness because I did not love You as Christ loved the church the other day when I responded to You the way I did. I was proudful and angry, and will You forgive me? So part of this clear conscience and being truthful is I don't want things like that to build up over time between us. In fact, Jesus said this is so important that he said it's better than bringing your gift to the altar in Matthew 5. If I bring my gift before God, I want to give you this. He said, if you there remember that your brother, in this case that includes my wife as a member of the body of Christ, who is closer to me than any brother, it's my wife. If there you remember that your brother, let's say my wife, has something against me, first you leave your gift there at the altar. First you go and you find your wife and be reconciled, and then you come and offer your gift. So my relationship with my wife can certainly hinder my fellowship with God. And so I want to have a open, honest communication, and then to be able to, when I share that, to trust her that she will forgive me. Otherwise, if I keep holding on to things that I have against her and I'm afraid to confess them, that just creates more anxiety, more burden. We do this with the Lord sometimes. We'll let things build up, and when we realize that it's best to keep what we call short accounts with God and confess our sins on a regular basis. So this isn't just about confessing sins. It's about just sharing what's going on in my mind. When I asked Kathy some time ago, I said, what are some things that you appreciate about how I've grown? And she mentioned specifically is sharing what's on my mind. Because I don't know how, but many times she has a way of reading my mind. At least men think that women read my mind, our minds. I can never read her mind, but there are times when she seems to read my mind. So I think, why do I need to talk to her? She already knows what's up. But this way, it affirms that she knew that she was right. She knew what was on my mind. But no, she really can't read my mind, guys. And they like,
she just knows
literally, she is intuitively and but, through knowledge, yes.
But you're not saying that she's a mind reader.
Oh, no, she's not a mind reader.
Okay.
But she knows me well enough over time. Actually, she does know a lot of times what I'm thinking. Maybe you know. Do you know what Amika is thinking sometimes?
Sometimes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Do you ever know what Bill Hawkins is? No. Doesn't usually work that way, but so by sharing what's on my mind, then we get it out in the open, and it's a mutual thing. That way, she knows more how to. Maybe she wants to encourage me if I have some fear that's really bothering me, something at work or in my life or church, and. You know, the temptation is at work where we have co-workers and people work close together. We have team meetings. We get around a small table. Sometimes there are mixed groups, men and women. Or we're assigned to do a project together and there's women and men on the team. Sometimes men have to be careful not to let the work talk during a break time or lunch. Spill over and start sharing these deeper thoughts, because that is a sure way to begin building a level of intimacy you never intended to do, but it builds a dangerous bridge, because women like to hear thoughts from. Well, some women, especially if they're single and at work, they like to hear thoughts of other men, and maybe they have other motives in their mind, maybe not. But I've lived long enough to see this happened where a married man became too close to a co-worker at work, and they might say, let's stop on the way home from work and have a drink, and then they share more deeply with each other, and pretty soon it turns into an affair. And so it's just a dangerous thing to do. I was advised along that line not to have a private lunch at work with a female coworker. So I kept that as a guard, even though I didn't have any motive to defraud my wife, and or not that I assumed that the coworker did either. But it's just a protection mechanism. It's a guard to protect, and there's nothing wrong with putting guards around your marriage like that. So 1 Corinthians 13 is a chapter on love, and it talks about love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. So when I'm being truthful with my wife, it gives her a sense of joy and rejoicing that when I'm being truthful, even if it's something that might be negative about her. For example, if she has a certain habit or certain thing that she does, and I say, you know, I really, when you say that, it makes me feel this way. She wants to know that. She is also gathering information and saying, if that bothers you, I will stop doing it. It would be like if I let my wife make a meal over and over and over, and I say, this is the best meal, but if I really didn't like it, she would think I was crazy. Why didn't you just say you didn't like it, I'll make it different, or I'll make something different. She doesn't want me to suffer and eat something that she has made that I don't like. But I don't want to, quote, hurt her feelings. Well, that's the way we would treat a child, you know. But she's an adult. She's my mate. And so I don't like bananas. So my wife never even tries to give me a banana. She knows I don't like bananas. So she's glad to learn that. Then she's not embarrassed sometimes when she tells another relative, if we're coming over, we're having bananas. Oh yeah, bananas are fine. No, now she says, well, don't make banana pudding because Rich doesn't like that. She will, I don't have to say it, she helps me. The person who's maybe the host, but they'll make something else. So she is a very good servant in her heart. She doesn't want to wear something that I don't like. She doesn't want to cook something I don't like. One time I made a comment about a picture on the wall, and she says, oh, I didn't know you didn't like that. It had been on the wall for maybe 10 years. But it didn't matter. It wasn't a big deal. But she still thought that I should have said something sooner, because she loves to decorate the house in a way that's pleasing to both of us. But it really wasn't that particular thing. It really wasn't a big deal. It wasn't that I did not dislike it. I mean, it just wasn't something I was really strongly for or against. So if I hide things, that just makes things worse when it does come out, because I should have been more upfront about that earlier. And not in a condemning way, but just as a matter of fact, as a, you know, the same as I would not want her to same with me if I were doing something that she didn't like, I would want her to tell me. But so that's what love is. It's transparent. It's we learn to trust one another. So this trust goes both ways. But usually it's me, the husband, needs to work on this more of sharing what's on my mind more so than the women. But if it's truly agape love, 1 Corinthians again says, love bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things. And your marriage will get stronger as you learn, the more you learn about your mate. I mentioned a few of these in the previous session about whether it's finances. I should not keep secrets, even if it's a good thing. Maybe I made money. Maybe I went to the casino. Oklahoma has dozens of casinos around the state. They're very popular. And I don't go to them, not because I have a problem or addiction with gambling, but because I think it's foolish. And the Bible says that wealth from gambling is a foolish thing. It comes quickly, it disappears quickly. But I know husbands who have a secret. They've never shared that they go to the casino and lose money, but they don't tell their wives, and then they wonder where their money was. So that's a dangerous thing to do. For many reasons. So now I might say, before where I would just be quiet, now I say something like, can we talk about something that's been on my mind? And she'll always say, sure. And I don't say there's a difference in saying you make me mad. That puts the blame on her. I don't say it that way. I said, when you say this, I feel rejected. So it puts the response on, this is how I am responding to what you said. So that she doesn't get defensive and say, no, I didn't make you mad, or I didn't say that. No, I said this. And I said, well, no, you said it like this. So then we're getting into the tone of voice. Well, it sounded like a criticism, and I was just wanting to clarify. So this whole area of being honest and truthful is a learned thing. It's a learned skill. And I pray that you're willing to work at it and overcome the misunderstandings that come along the way. Because in a related matter, early when we had our first disagreement, I don't remember what it was about. We don't have many disagreements, but my response when she objected to something and was to kind of walk away. You know, when you have a conflict, there's two general responses. One is to fight back and get angry, and the other side gets angry, or flight, to run away. And I just went to the other room, and she says, no, we need to talk this out. And I didn't want to talk it out. But I learned, yes, okay, we need to talk this out. Now I'm the one saying, hey, we haven't finished talking this out. In my mind, we need to resolve this conflict. And so it worked out to be a good thing. The way I grew up in my family as a young man, it was more fight between my father, and it was fight between one of my brothers and I, but the rest of the time I just was a conflict avoider. I would just simply leave. And so we didn't always resolve the conflict. But in a marriage, unresolved conflict can just be again. It's an opportunity that Satan has to get in and create discontent and cause a man to look at someone at work, a female co-worker, who appears to be friendlier and agreeing. You know, John mentioned, laughs at all your jokes, says that, yeah, you're right, you shouldn't, especially when you start sharing things about the home life. That's a very dangerous thing to do, to say, I did this and my wife got angry, because there are plenty of women out there who, on the surface, at the beginning, they're going to say, hey, I can get this guy. And remember, women like security. Here's a man who's got a secure job. Don't be surprised. There are many women who would love to cause someone to have an affair or get a divorce if it would make their life more secure. And maybe they're already divorced. And they are struggling because they're supporting two children. They're looking for anyone that's available. Husband, whether they appear to be satisfied or not. Some are very aggressive. So again, it's another reason why these covenants help protect. It puts a hedge of protection when we're being proactive in these areas. I think the next section will talk more about that. So let's close here. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for the fact that you are trusting enough to share your heart with us. Help us as husbands to be trusting and truthful with our wives. In Jesus' name, amen.